Okay, let's start with an Eric and say, hello, SVC.
Hello.
I was just checking who knew my name then, you see.
Okay. I'm Martin, if you don't know me. And actually, next Sunday, I've got a job interview. Because it's to do with the church. That's why they do it on a Sunday. You have to preach there. So you could argue it's my third interview, and there's been about 70 plus people involved in the process so far. You can pray for me in that. It doesn't have to mean I stop coming here, so that might help you pray or see how that works. But I thought I'd mention it at the start because I'd appreciate you praying as to whether that's God's will. There's me or one other person at the moment they're praying about. Because God is sovereign, and if it's not that one, I need to know what he does want next. And the other reason I thought I'd mention it was I realized that one of my references, I will have had to do four references by the end, is John. And I thought it would be worth saying to some of you, if you need a job reference sometimes, John or Eric could be possibilities, because you see the thing on the form that says no friends. Well, I hope they're your friends. But they also can put down that they have a role as associate pastor or senior pastor. That means they can write references for you, and particularly if you've come through different things that have made it hard getting jobs, that might be a good thing for you to know, that that's an option for you when you're faced with who can I get to be my reference. So there you go, there's my little help for you at the beginning. And there's no kids groups today, so that's a bit sad, isn't it? So I want to speak to everybody, but every now and then I want to remember they're in the room. Yesterday my little girl said to me, oh, you're speaking tomorrow, what are you speaking on? So I said, oh, and I got her to read the passage, and then I said, what do you think I should speak on? So I got my little practice run there as I asked her different things. But God speaks to all of us as we read his word, and that's what I want for you as we speak today. But I'm going to start with a prayer that you might laugh about later. I don't think I've used it here before. And your kids can ask you, what was he on about afterwards as well? So here we go. Lord, help me not to be like porridge, thick and hard to stir, but more like cornflakes, quick and ready to serve. Amen. Okay, I'm going to mess Simon out a bit. Next thing I'm going to do is the YouTube video. And I want you to see if you can work out what the theme of the passage is from watching this video.
Now to sport with Meredith Sheehan.
Action Sub-News reporter Christine Pei is up to scene with what we know. Apparently, we don't have that story. Right now, astronomers at the University
of investigation in southwest Albuquerque. You can see right here.
I'm Scott Mattis, live in Hernando, Mississippi, where there has been spottings of a cougar, and that's not it. That looks like a house cat. But we're just feet away from where a local man rolled his cell phone video on what some say is a cougar. I'll be right back with a live report.
Okay. Anybody like to guess at what kind of a theme there is to this passage? Sorry? Mistakes. I'm good at mistakes. Not being ready. Being prepared. Okay. I think be ready would be a very simple version of what the theme is. And as we listen to the passage that Julie's going to come and read to us, you'll hear that be ready phrase come through all the time. And we live in a world where virtual TV shows, virtual reality is kind of all the thing, and there's that kind of catching people when they weren't ready shock thing. And I think it would be easy to go through this passage and think that's all that this is about. But I think there's more to this passage than just be ready, don't be caught out. So as you listen, try and work out what more you think this passage is saying than just be ready. Okay, Julie.
Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, as though you are waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you'll be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. The servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth, he himself will seat them, put on an apron, and serve them as they sit and eat. He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn, but whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. Peter asked, Lord, is that illustration just for us or for everyone? And the Lord replied, a faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. But what if the servant thinks, my master won't be back for a while? And he begins beating the other servants, partying and getting drunk. The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant in pieces and banish him with the unfaithful. And a servant who knows what the master wants, but isn't prepared and doesn't carry out those instructions, will be severely punished. But someone who does not know and then does something wrong will be punished only lightly. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required.
Okay, need to check you're all awake, all ages. So I'll say a phrase, I want you to kind of finish it for me. And I've got two of them. We're just practice on the first one. So the first one is, imagine I'm praying and I said, in Jesus' name, amen. You're asleep. Okay, let's try and show that we're here and listening and ready. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Ready or not, I'm... There you go. Because that is obviously the first theme that we have in this passage. Be ready. Or if we try and make it a bit more Manchester-y, be ready, in the buzzing around sense. Okay? But I think we can take it a little further than that, and that's why I challenged you to listen to the passage and see what else God is saying. Because I want to suggest to you today, fitting with the summer holidays, that one theme of this passage is the ministry of absence. The ministry of absence. Not being here can actually be a ministry. Now, I don't mean, oh, I don't care, I'm not coming, I'm not going to be here. So I'll try and explain to you what I mean by that as a ministry of absence. And maybe it will help you if I expand it. And I said to you that the ministry of absence is about owning a culture that serves and grows other people. Owning a culture that serves and grows other people. So I'll try and show you what that means, but let me start by telling you of a story when I was a teenager at school. I've actually got two school stories to tell you today. This is the first one when I think I was probably about 15, and one of my classmates was the youngest of three brothers, and his parents went away for 2 weeks and left the three boys in the house whilst they were away. I went round there just a few hours before the parents were due back. And the house looked, and I'm not sure if I got the slide order right, but the house looked something like this. Okay? This was quite a long time ago. Not everybody had a dishwasher, but they had a dishwasher. And when you have a dishwasher, because lots of stuff gets stored up in the dishwasher, you end up having to have lots and lots of plates so that you can have a whole load in the dishwasher and a whole load of other stuff. And you probably have some others somewhere else in the house as well. And they had loads and loads of crockery. And in 2 weeks, the boys had done their best not to have to wash a single thing. So they had used every plate and cup in the house by about the end of the first week. And then they just looked around and found paper ones or other ones or just washed one that they needed. And it just was all there until they thought, Mum and Dad are coming back. And I went round there and they had loaded a dishwasher. And of course, not that much of it fitted in the dishwasher. And it took a long time to go round. So they were busy trying to get all the washing up done in the sink that was full of stuff. And sending search parties out around the house, finding all the plates that were under the sofa, under the bed, and all over the house. Okay. The parents coming back was in danger of catching them not ready. The parents had practiced the ministry of absence. Because actually, there's quite a bit of trust involved in that, isn't there? When they go away, they're actually saying, we trust you, boys, to look after the house while we're gone, and that we can come back and not be too horrified by what we find when we come back to the house. And the boys suddenly realized when the parents were coming back, we're not ready! And they had to do everything to get the house ready. I don't think they quite managed it. At least the parents would have had the joy of coming back and finding they were trying, as opposed to not trying at all. But when parents go away in that situation, they hope that the habits they've tried to put in you, the way they want you to live, will have somehow communicated and that you might get it right from the beginning. There's a trust in that situation. So when they come back, it shouldn't be a panic. It should be a, ha-ha, we did it, look, kind of situation. And there's actually quite a few stories that we have in the New Testament of masters going away. So let's get rid of one easy misunderstanding. I don't think we have a situation where God goes away from us and he's out of touch and we can't reach him and somehow he didn't care and he's left us. But we do have times when God says, the stuff I've been doing, it's over to you now. I'm trusting you with this, and then I'll come back and see how you are doing with it. And actually, that takes trust in us, and it also takes a willingness to let go of a bit of control. Because sometimes, and you can, I'll test if you're awake again now, we say, if a job's worth doing, yeah. And if you want something doing well, because when we don't trust other people to do it right, sometimes we don't let go of it. We have an amazing God who, in the words of the song, made us, fearfully and wonderfully made us. And he says, I trust you in these situations. I'm going to see how you do. And he steps back and he waits. And then he comes to see how we've done. And that's the picture I think we have a number of times in these verses. There's a book I read when I was working in missions that was called Passing the Baton. And in that book, it talks about the fact that right from the beginning when you do something, if you're working in another country, in another culture, it said you had to do it in a way the local people could do it. And there's all kinds of debates in that. So I won't go into that. You can ask me questions about it later if you like. Is teaching the English the right way to do it if the locals can't do that? How do you teach people to show their faith to others around them? The best way to do it is in a way that the locals can do it. But simple one, leading a Bible study or something. His model was, if you're going to pass the baton to the person, the first thing you do is you lead the Bible study. The second thing you do is you help your trainee so that they can lead it with your help. So you show and then you assist. The third thing you do is watch. So your trainee leads the Bible study and you're there watching. And the fourth thing you do is leave. Because as long as you're there, you haven't handed over yet. So the way to pass the baton is show, assist, watch, and leave. And that was the pattern. We're in a church where we believe in the sainthood of all believers. We believe in all ministry. God wants to use you, not just the leadership team, not just those he puts at the front. God wants to use you to speak into other people's lives. And yeah, that means we want to show, we want to help, we want to watch God working through you in the life of other people, and leave you to get on with it. Don't always need somebody else there doing it all the time. I got some of this even as a young teenager, but we're quite foolish and headstrong as teenagers. So I've got my old school photo here. You can try and spot me somewhere in there if you like. You might need to come and look more closely afterwards. But this was me when I was somewhere around the 15 age group again. And we actually saw amazing things happening in our school. We went from being a group of about 3 Christians to a group of being over 30 Christians in the school. We, at the time, it was one of the biggest high schools in England. That was quite exciting to be part of. We had a small Christian union, but virtually no Christian teachers, so that was pretty much run by us as a group of teenagers. And then suddenly we got some new Christian teachers, and they came in and they wanted to run the Christian union. And at the same time, exciting things were happening in the local churches, and they wanted to work together as a group of churches, and they launched a little festival, Christian festival for our town, with different events going on all over the place for 2 weeks. And I thought, wow, we've got to do something in the school as well that brings this Christian festival into the school. So we talked in our Christian union at school as a group of students. We said, we want to do something. And we came up with all kinds of wild and wacky ideas of things we could do in the school to get those who don't come to Christian meetings to come to something in the school. And you could see the new Christian teachers, who were good people, all sitting there very nervously and wondering if we would be able to do this. And we didn't get agreement from them for anything. So headstrong Martin thought, well, I'm not going to let that stop me. So big school, students don't normally see the head teacher, but I asked for an appointment to see the head teacher. Everybody said, you won't get it. And I did. And I went in and I saw the head teacher, and I said, there's this big Christian festival going on in the area. We would like to do something in the school, so every day for a week, we would like to use the main school hall and show Christian films. Is that okay? And she looked at me, and she was quiet for a moment, and she said yes. And then she said, do you know why I'm saying yes? She says, I've had a Bible verse going around. She wasn't known as a Christian. I've had a Bible verse going around in my head. Trying to find it now. For some time. And the Bible verse is one of those that we read today. And it's from Luke chapter 12. It's the second part of verse 48. And this head teacher said to me, the Bible verse that had been almost haunting her was, everyone to whom much was given of him, much will be required. And from him to whom they have entrusted much, they will demand more. She said, I think because of this, I need to give the opportunity in the school for something like this to happen. Wow. God went ahead and opened up that route. Then it got a bit more challenging, because as soon as I had left her office, she phoned the head of RE, who was one of the new Christian teachers, and said, I've just had this student in here with this idea, and I've said okay, so I'd like you to oversee it all happening. So he immediately called me in and said, what did you do? But we did it. Christian film in the school every day, and it led to some people becoming Christians as part of that festival and the other events that they got to go to. God entrusts us with opportunity. And when he entrusts us with those opportunities, he also has an expectation of how we will use it. We have a responsibility to use that. It's not just for the parents. It's not just for those who are in leadership positions. We're each fearfully made. That song that we sung goes on and says, I will live my life for him. He's given you a life, how will you live it? I will live it for him. And he is there like an eager parent who wants to see their child growing and able to take that responsibility and able to flourish in their abilities. Not to be absolutely identical to the parent, but to develop in their gifting with the same heart and values that the parent has tried to communicate to each of them. So when he comes back, it should be like a delight as he gets to see how we've been doing that. And there should even be an expectation of excitement in us that we can say, look and see what we've done with these opportunities. Because when you look at the other Bible passages that we have like that, one of them is the parable of the talents. A great sum of money given. How do they use it? Bury it? Hide it? Play safe? Or try and use it in the way that God wants? Looking for things that help us on this. And I found a quote that says this. It's actually from a former ultimate fighting championship guy, featherweight and lightweight champion. So basically somebody who's ready to hit you or to defend himself using all kinds of martial arts and different things. But he said this, I stay ready so I don't have to get ready. I stay ready so I don't have to get ready. Because when you look at these people who are involved in boxing and different martial arts, they have to do all the training to get ready for the fight. And he said, I stay ready so I don't have to get ready. And I think that's the way that we should be trying to live as Christians. I stay ready so I don't have to get ready. Same theme as the verses we've read from Matthew 24, 42 to 43. It says, therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. We know that Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back not as a baby, he's coming back as a victorious Lord and Savior to all. And the time when he comes back is the time when our opportunity to be doing lots of things finishes. And he'll be looking to see what we've done with that opportunity and how we've been living our lives. And I would like that to be a time when we can say, here, see. But it might be that it's a time when we know that we've actually buried everything and we've got nothing to show. So, as we close up, I want to show you one more video. But this video isn't the fun laugh one. It's the one where I just encourage you each to prayerfully reflect about the different ways that we work out our faith and where God is challenging us. And when we look at the whole picture, it's often quite hard for us to know where to start. So as you watch through this, I want you to just say, where are you speaking to me, God? Which areas do you want me to get the washing up done on? Where do I start? Which area do you want me to work on that I'm living my life for you? So let's prayerfully watch this last video. Lord, help us to be ready. Help us to know the areas that you want to use us in to speak to others. Help us not to be like porridge, thick and hard to stir, but more like cornflakes, quick and ready to serve. Amen.